further afield, America is reeling following yesterday's shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando. Omar Mateen went on a rampage, killing 49 people. Authorities are now trying to piece together the motives for his actions. Our U.S. correspondent Simon Marks joins us live from Washington now. Hi there, Simon. We're hearing these really tragic stories emerging of the last moments of people who lost their lives in that club. These stories seem to be painting a picture of how Omar Mateen executed this massacre.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. We've learned a lot more in the last few hours about precisely what happened during that three-hour period between 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, when Omar Mateen gained access to the Pulse nightclub, which serves the LGBT community in Orlando, and 5 o'clock in the morning when police finally brought the situation under control. And it has emerged that there were several telephone calls between Omar Mateen and police while the siege was underway. He is described by the police chief in Orlando as having been cool and calm throughout. He is said to have pledged allegiance to Islamic State. He apparently, during the course of one of those telephone calls, said that he was acting partly inspired by the actions of the Boston Marathon bombers, who, of course, had also acted in favor of Islamic State. And he is also said to have given them a timeline for when those people being held hostage inside the club would be killed. And it was that timeline that led police to come to the conclusion that the people remaining inside the nightclub were in imminent danger. And at that point, SWAT teams moved in to take action, kill the gunman, and bring the siege to an end. Orlando very much reeling from this attack. So is the rest of the country. The identities of the 49 people who died, the gunman was the 50th person to die, slowly being released by the authorities, and families in Orlando, of course, grieving and preparing to bury their loved ones.
We know that Omar Mateen pledged himself to the cause of the Islamic State, as you've said, but is it clear whether he was actually acting on the organization's instructions, Simon?
No, it's not clear. Islamic State has claimed responsibility for this attack through a radio broadcast, one of the channels that they have previously been known to use to claim responsibility for various acts in various places. But the U.S. government and investigators on the scene are still trying to determine Omar Mateen's motivation, and it may well be that he didn't have one single motivation. One of the questions being asked here is, was he mentally ill? Was this a homophobic act? Was he acting on behalf of Islamic State? And the answer to all three questions may well prove to be yes. His wife, his ex-wife, has provided compelling testimony about their short marriage, giving interviews in which she says that he was mentally unwell, bipolar, and physically abusive towards her. She says that he gave voice to homophobic opinions at times during their marriage. Mateen's father has said that his son was enraged by the sight of two men kissing in public in Miami a couple of months ago, rage that did not dissipate over the intervening 2 months between the incident and the attack being launched in Orlando. And we know that in those conversations with police and emergency responders, he was giving voice to support for Islamic State. So it may have been all of those things playing into his decision to target the Pulse nightclub in the early hours of Sunday morning and bring such carnage to the city of Orlando.
Simon, we know police had interviewed Mateen, but later realized released him, believing he wasn't actually a risk. How's this likely to change the approach to individuals whom U.S. police regard with suspicion at first, but later don't perceive as a real threat after their preliminary investigations?
Joanne, I think there are some enormous questions for the FBI to answer, and I suspect that some of them are being asked right now. President Obama is gathering at the White House his top national security officials, officials from the Department of Justice. He's also talking to the head of the FBI, the head of the Department of Homeland Security. We expect to hear from President Obama a little bit later. But, you know, that was a bombshell admission that the FBI put into the public domain yesterday, when they conceded that they had interviewed Omar Mateen twice once in 2013 after some of his co-workers complained about inflammatory statements that he had made, then again in 2014 about contacts that they say he had with a radicalized Muslim who went to fight in Syria and ultimately became a suicide bomber on behalf of Islamic State. So huge questions about how Omar Mateen drifted off the FBI's radar screen, how he was able legally, and it's important to underscore, legally he was able to secure a license to own firearms, and whether more vigilance on behalf of the country's intelligence agencies could have prevented this massacre from taking place in Orlando. It's going to be a central facet of the inquiry into what took place.
Thank you for wrapping that for us so comprehensively. Our U.S. correspondent Simon Marks, live to us from Washington. Your headlines are next.